Attendees packed the auditorium at the Crandall Public Library to hear from a panel of experts on the increasing prevalence of Lyme disease in New York. Presentations covered the disease and current research on tick-borne illness, and suggestions were made about what the state and federal government could do to prevent infection in humans. Recently, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention revised its estimate for yearly cases of Lyme in the U.S. from 30,000 to 312,000. Dr. Brian Backenson, an epidemiologist and research scientist with the New York State Department of Health, said that since the state first started tracking the illness in 1985, Lyme has become common throughout much of the state.
Over the past 30 years, basically, we've seen Lyme disease continue to, you know, march its way further north and further west across the state. The leading edge of Lyme disease now is roughly a band between Syracuse and Rochester and stretches down to the Pennsylvania border. Here in the Capital District and north of the Capital District, we see lots of Lyme disease cases. It's relatively easy for us to catch deer ticks that we couldn't catch in this particular area 25 years ago.
Several of the attendees at the forum claim to have had experiences with Lyme disease. Chandra Eldridge said she first contracted it 7 years ago, and she said she has yet to have many of her symptoms disappear.
I've been on antibiotics now, this term has been about a year, and when I go off it for a couple weeks, I feel the symptoms come right back. You know, and I'm still testing positive as a month ago. I still test positive.
Lyme disease is known to be carried by the black-leg deer tick and can cause persisting fatigue and joint pain. Holly Ahern, an associate professor of microbiology at SUNY Adirondack, challenged some of the conventional knowledge associated with tick bites and Lyme disease and questioned the traditional treatment method of administering antibiotics as a way to eliminate the disease.
There's a significant body of evidence that says persisting symptoms are actually caused by persistence of the organism after antibiotics. So they are surviving antibiotic treatment, they're surviving immune system attack, and they, you know, kind of recede into their niches for a while, but then once the antibiotics are removed, they, you know, start to reappear.
Ahern also suggested that federal funding for Lyme research, which currently is around $25 million per year, be increased as the disease is becoming more common and understandings of the disease are evolving. Dr. Timothy Salati, a researcher from the Trudeau Institute in Saranac Lake, said he hopes a vaccine can be developed to not only fight tick-borne illness, but specifically target the tick's feeding cycle to prevent transmission of the disease from vector to host.
So if you could vaccinate individuals to mount a protective immune response against the tick's salivary proteins, this could prevent them from effectively feeding.
Senator Betty Little of Queensbury, who helped organize the forum, said the state legislature will create a task force to study tick-borne illness and that she believes legislation should be passed to introduce more funding for disease research and to require health insurance companies to cover treatments associated with symptoms of Lyme and other diseases.
Because if you're sick, I don't understand why your insurance isn't covering you.
The forum also was organized by Assemblyman Dan Steck and Tony Jordan. Reporting from the campus of Skidmore College, I'm Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard.